Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy y'all, Glenn the Geek here from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 9th, 2011, episode 136, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, girls, it's a Monday.
There's something wrong with us, something very, very wrong with us.
But it's still Monday.
Time to ride. Time to ride. It's time to ride. Ooh, yeah.
Kentucky Derby that was. What a race. You had no idea who was going to win. And going into the race, obviously, we were pulling for our friend Mucho Macho Man. Well, you know what? He ran a heck of a great race. He ran an amazing race, finishing third, but to have the youngest horse in the field be laying back in a great position coming around the turn there and to make that run, he was like picking Rye out, horses off one at a time, and he finished third, about a neck behind Nero, who came in second, and about three lengths behind Animal Kingdom. What did you guys think about the race?
Oh, it was terrific. I agree with you. I think that Patty and the whole gang over there at Mucho Macho Man's camp have to be thrilled because, you know, he came in third out of 19 horses. And you know, and 19 horses that really they had it up in the air. What happened to Dialed In? I mean, my gosh, he was nowhere to be seen.
and that's the thing. Exactly, is for these favorites or whoever to get in the good position that Mucho Macho Man had and to run the race that he ran. I was thrilled after the race. I wasn't disappointed at all, knowing that we really wanted him to win. And I just kept remembering Patty saying that her and her husband, Dean, who own Mucho Macho Man, they just to get a horse to the Derby was such a thrill for them and was so exciting and such a big part of their goals as horse owners. And to have a horse go and run third like he did, just ran his absolute heart out. It was really exciting, and they should be very, very proud of him. And carrots to Mucho Macho Man from Horse Radio Network for sure.
And it looks like their early word is, well, we know Mucho Macho Man's already at Pimlico getting ready for the Preakness.
Gagasus!
I shortened it, so now you're going to hear it over. Every time Preakness comes up, that's what he says. You'll hear it. So anyway, there are four already there. It looks like Animal Kingdom is on his way. Mucho Macho Man's already there this morning, according to the Facebook page. Shackleford and Dialed In are planning on the Preakness. And it says Nero, who finished second in the Kentucky Derby, is a maybe. So we're not quite sure about Nero, but it looks like Mucho Macho Man might have his chance for revenge, and that's a shorter race. So I'm not sure. You know, he definitely was a late comer in the race on Saturday, so I'm not sure how he'll do in a shorter race.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, it's a mile and a 16th as opposed to a mile and a quarter like the Derby is. And then the Belmont, of course, is a mile and a half. But I just worry about a horse his age. He's still so young to run two races like that within 2 weeks and hopefully not aim him for the Derby, which is such a long race. So, you know, I'm sure they'll be smart about it and they'll pick out what they want to do. So maybe they know something we don't know. Who knows? The Animal Kingdom really didn't have that surge till after a mile and 16th. So maybe if you took that away, Mucho Macho Man would have won.
I thought it was very interesting, too, when you look at our posts on our Facebook page. Let me see here. The one I want to find from okay, so I had posted that Patty will probably be very happy with that. And then it was I'm trying to find out who it was. Can't find it. There are too many posts on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning over on Facebook. But I had posted about the races and everything, and then the conversation started. And it was a guy, I think it might have been Tom, who said, was Patty wearing her polka-dotted boots? And, yes, we did see her. We had to rewind once as they were coming down the track. You know how all the owners and everybody walks down the track. She was there in her polka-dotted boots and her blue dress and a white hat. So we did see her in her polka-dotted boots. Yep.
That is cool. I love all the pre-race stuff that they do and the stories about everybody. I DVR'd it, so I've gone back and watched some of them over and over again. And, you know, it's just such a fun experience to be there someday, Glenn. I'm going to go to the Kentucky Derby. I can't believe I've never been.
I know. We haven't either, and we live, an hour away. Maybe next year we'll get there. Hey, And, boy, I saw some posts, too. Let's go to Jennifer and find out what's coming up on today's show. Maybe.
Well, there you know, if I let you guys go long enough, you do this for me, and then I can sit back and paint my nails on today's show.
No, you have to work this morning.
It's all about the news. We're going to start out with a very newsworthy Alex Brown. He's going to be here giving us his opinions on how Derby weekend went. I'm sure he'll have some good things to say about the Oaks on Friday as well and the upcoming continuing road to the Triple Crown for somebody, we hope. And next, Holly Matt from the Pegasus Design Group is going to be here, and she will be enlightening us on some of the really great design philosophies and the designs that they build for horse owners who want a horse-friendly environment that's also environmentally friendly. Really cool ideas that they've got over there, and they build some really gorgeous barns. And to round out your Monday, Glenn and Jamie will be bringing you, the listener, the fascinating news stories and goofball headlines from the horse world.
Thank you, Jennifer. We would like to encourage everybody to call in this morning. Give us a call at 347-637-3238. Let us know what you thought of the Derby. We'll be able to take your call throughout the whole show, so please do give us a call, 347-637-3238. And then let's do the Daily Winnies, and then I want to talk about a Facebook post that you put up, and we really haven't had a chance to talk about this. So we'll just we'll find out a little bit about that, too. My first Daily Winnie goes out to Robin and the gang at Horse Talk over there in New Zealand at horsetalk.co.nz. She has a terrific website, one of the biggest websites in New Zealand for the horse world, and it just shows you the power of new media. That website in New Zealand helped someone in the heartland of America save a horse that was in Washington State at an auction. All of that put together on the internet and done, you know, in a very short period of time, and then also raised money to help get the horse transported and buy the horse and everything. And they had over like $3,000 raised in a couple of days. Go ahead.
We'll have to talk to her because the way that this horse was spotted, somebody that is familiar with the New Zealand thoroughbreds saw this horse listed in an auction, saw the New Zealand brand, and then tried to figure out why a New Zealand horse was being sold in an auction, which could potentially lead to slaughter. They all banded together, bought the horse, found it a home. I mean, it is just this awesome story. They're raising money for the transportation for the horse named Cusack, named after John Cusack, the actor. So it's a really cool story, and good job to Robin and the gang, and we have got to get them on to talk about this story.
Yeah, I've been emailing with her over the weekend, and we're trying to work out a time this week. The problem we have is New Zealand right now is about 2, 3 in the morning, so we're trying to work out something that we can maybe record it or something, but actually get them on, because it was a fascinating story and they deserve kudos. And I think it's time for my second Daily Winnie. I have another one here, Jamie, and then we'll get to yours. This goes out. This is this was an unplanned Daily Winnie. It goes out to Rachel Knopf, who posted just 2 seconds ago on our Facebook page and said, "Yes, I guess pulling all-nighters to study has some benefits. I can actually listen to the show live for once. I'm in California." Well, Rachel,
woo-hoo!
We cannot guarantee that we will not put you to sleep this morning. So keep that in mind if you still have studying to do. And now it's Jamie's turn.
Well, my Daily Winnie goes out, and this is really random, and this person will never hear it ever. It goes out to my dentist. because my dentist, when I had oral surgery like a year ago, prescribed me some muscle relaxers to ease my pain after the dental surgery. I never actually took the muscle relaxers during the whole pain thing for the jaw because it didn't hurt that bad. However, if I slur my words a little bit today, that is because I did finally take one last night because I had a ripping amazing fall off of my horse yesterday. I mean...
Wait, hold it. Stop. Let's make him wait till the last half hour to hear about your fall because I haven't heard about it yet either. And we got Alex Brown coming up here in a couple of minutes. So why don't we wait till the last half hour and then we'll hear about your fall.
Okay, well just know that I'm currently sitting on a pillow only on my right butt cheek and I'm leaning forward kind of hunched over the microphone because I can't sit up straight. But thank God for cross-country vests. I got that new Charles Owen vest and let's just say it was well worth the money. Well,
I think the more important question here, Jamie, is you're going on vacation to Hawaii on Wednesday. Are you still going to be able to wear the bikini or are you too bruised up?
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be ugly. It's not going to be pretty.
Okay. I haven't heard this story yet either, everybody. So I'm thinking it's going to take longer than 2 minutes for Jamie to tell it. So that's why we're making her wait.
Why? It didn't take that long to fall.
I do want to talk about the pictures you posted, though, because we'll get to those, too, in the last half hour. Because, wow, what form and what your horse should be jumping Grand Prix, 6 foot jump,
yeah.
Not little.
Let's just say that Barb Cravo, my trainer, actually said, don't worry, the size of the fence is never going to be a problem for him. I was like, clearly, if you look at the pictures, the horse jumps the fences. She said that he'll get better as he gets more experienced and he won't like over jump so much. But good God, when a fence is 3 feet tall and the horse jumps the fence 2 feet over, that makes it a 5-foot fence. And let's just say that I am not qualified to jump 5-foot fences, okay? Not qualified, no desire. So there you go.
I guess judging by the amount of pain pills and muscle relaxants you had to take, there is evidence that you're not qualified.
I'll tell you later.
I want to know too. I want to know.
Was there. Oh,
I was just
going to
ask that.
I haven't fallen off of a horse since he's known me. Okay, and it's been probably 4 years. And as I'm laying on the ground, I get up and I tell my trainer, I'm like, I haven't fallen off in 5 or 6 years. She goes, well, obviously you haven't been riding hard enough.
And I have so resisted playing this.
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I was you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close, too far.
I've resisted, but I couldn't resist anymore. Hey, we have our first guest coming up. You want to introduce him there, Jamie?
Absolutely. We had him on, I believe it was Friday. The days are all running together. I'd like to apologize to Alex Brown because I am medicated right now. But AlexBrownRacing.com, he's the author of the book Greatness and Goodness, Barbaro and His Legacy. And as we last talked to you, you were actually at Churchill Downs at the Kentucky Derby. So good morning, Alex. Where are you now?
I'm back in my house in Pennsylvania, right by Fairhill Training Center, where this year's Kentucky Derby champion will be residing. I think he ships up here tomorrow.
Oh, fantastic. So you were at Churchill Downs for the Kentucky Oaks, and then were you also there for the Derby?
I was there Derby morning. I actually saw Animal Kingdom train in the morning, and sort of hung out a little bit, sort of, you know, check on a few things, see what was going on. But then I jumped in my car because I had to get up here to be at Winnetha yesterday in Delaware. And I actually stopped at a bar in West Virginia to watch Animal Kingdom's terrific win in the Kentucky Derby. Yes.
What a better place to watch than a bar in West Virginia.
It was a surreal experience. It was the guy that ran the bar was extraordinarily accommodating. He gave me a Budweiser and turned the big screen TV on to NBC, and I sort of had my own, it was like being in my own living room. It was terrific. And to watch Animal Kingdom, Graham Motion's horse, win the race was spectacular. And then obviously Steve Asmussen's horse, Nero, finished second. I saw Steve that morning, chatted with him, gave him a copy of my book because I'd worked for Steve for a couple of years. So for me, that exacta could not have been a better result in terms of just, you know, knowing the horseman involved.
Wait, that's an awesome story, and we'll get into that. But first of all, did they have big screen TVs in West Virginia? I didn't even know they had that technology.
In this bar that I was at in Western West Virginia, yeah, it was great. It was kind of a bar like I'd never been into before. It had a bunch of sort of Keno-type machines or something, and people just walking in, playing those machines and walking out. But yeah, no, it was great. And the two or three people in there were just fantastic. They obviously didn't realize that it was Kentucky Derby Day, and they're pretty excited to see me yelling these two horses down the lane.
Oh, that's great. So when we talked to you on Friday, you said that there was, and you weren't going to name any names, I didn't push you, you said that there were some horses in the race, about half the field, that you thought didn't deserve to be there. Does the race on Saturday change your opinion, or does it just kind of knock it home?
No, I mean, to be honest, Animal Kingdom was one of the horses, certainly on the backside at Churchill the few days leading up to the Derby, was a bit kind of like the buzz horse. You know, a lot of people were kind of liking the look of him. He worked very well in his prior work to the Derby on the dirt. So he wasn't one of those that I automatically said should not be in the race. But certainly, you know, I looked at the order of finish and some of those horses at the back end of the order of finish. Yeah, I don't think they should have been in the race. I think that is a sort of bone of contention each year. There are horses in the Derby that are there for no other reason than the connections want to be there. It's not because the horse really should be there, and it doesn't do the horse good in the long run to run in such a grueling race if it's not really up to muster, as it were.
So what happened to Dialed In?
He ran terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible. He jumped out the gate. He looked awful the first part of the race. Obviously not too thrilled with all the dirt hitting him in the face. But if you look at him in that sort of first quarter of a mile, half a mile, he just looked like he wanted no part of it. I'm guessing his race strategy was compromised a little bit by the slower early pace. He would rather have a little bit more speed to run at. But, yeah, he just ran a very poor race. I would, you know, presume something is bugging him a little bit, but I don't know. Seems like they need to go to the Preakness. There's a $5.5 million bonus if they win the Preakness, so I'm sure that sort of encourages them a little bit to have a go at that, because the horse obviously is a good horse winning the Florida Derby, but the last Saturday he did not run a race at all.
Watching
when they
showed the race afterwards, watching him, they focused in on him, and you're right, he did not like that dirt in his face. He was pinning his ears. He looked like he was squinting and blinking like a couple times a stride. He was definitely unhappy.
Very unhappy. Looked like he was climbing a little bit. It just was not his day. I'm hoping it's just because he didn't like the dirt in his face. But, I mean, we'll see. You know, if he has those kind of race tactics, he's going to get dirt in his face. He better get used to it.
Yeah, well, you know, but Animal Kingdom's the one that should have minded dirt in his face. Wasn't this the first time Animal Kingdom had run in the dirt and not on the grass?
That is, it's the first time he's raced on the dirt. I think John Velasquez gave him an absolutely peach of a ride. He kept him out of trouble, sort of a little bit wide. And I think maybe some of that was to do with not wanting to get too much dirt kicked in his face. He sort of kept him out of the way. So he kind of went a bit of a longer trip around. But that horse was running and running at the end. I mean, it was great to see him sort of sprinting down the lane. It was a terrific win. Graham Motion is such a super nice guy, very quiet horseman. You know, he gets a lot of respect for training turf horses, but not so much respect for training dirt horses. And this is going to be a great win for his career.
Well, and how hard is it as a horse to be running on artificial, then run on turf, and then to go to dirt and be successful in all three of those?
It's very hard. You better be a very, very good horse. And, you know, certainly this is something Barbaro was able to do. And now we know this is something Animal Kingdom is able to do. And this is actually really exciting. I mean, if he steps up and wins the Preakness and the Belmont, he's surely a great racehorse. So it's kind of fun, you know, going into the Derby, everyone's saying this is a bad Derby, looks like a mediocre group of horses. But Animal Kingdom may not be mediocre. He may actually turn out to be a superstar, which will be very exciting for the sport.
Now, the time for the Kentucky Derby was 2:02 and change. Obviously, the record still held by Secretariat. Do you think that record will ever be broken? Because to me, 2:02, I mean, it's, you know, about 3 seconds off the thing, but that seems like a pretty long 3 seconds. So do you think that Secretariat's record will be broken?
I mean, I think the time on Saturday was actually very creditable, given the slower early pace. I mean, they ran the first half mile in 48 seconds and change. In Barbaro's Derby, they ran in 46 seconds and change. That's about an 8-length difference. So to finish up in 2:02 and change is actually not too bad. I think the overall time's pretty good. I don't know if anyone's ever going to beat Secretariat's time. He was, you know, if he was not the greatest racehorse we've seen so far, he was the second greatest. And, you know, whether we'll see a horse like that again, who knows? But I don't know. I don't think we look at each Derby coming up and saying, can we beat Secretariat's record? Because it's a ridiculously fast record to beat. Yeah. So.
And, you know, we always say that, and then eventually there is another one. You know, it happens in time. There will be. You know, so I think that it was fun. You know, there were a lot of cool stories in this. And, of course, our horse pick and our friends over there at the Mucho Macho Man camp came in third, wasn't too shabby, and didn't do too bad.
No, Mucho Macho Man ran a great race, too, and you guys were right. He was definitely one of the picks, and he ran like it. So Mucho Macho Man, all hats off to those connections. I would have given them or had them have a book too, right? But I don't know them like I know Steve and Graham. So maybe I'll go hunt them down off at Belmont Park or something. But that horse ran a great race. I mean, the first four or five horses, you know, they ran good races. I was just, you know, like we talked about before, very disappointed with Darlin's performance. You know, and some of the other horses just shouldn't have been in the race. But, you know, this was Animal Kingdom's race. This is a great moment for horse racing and for the Graham Motions team.
And now, listen, I imagine, Alex, that they've been... Go ahead, Jane.
I was just going to say, listen, Alex, you cannot keep giving these books away. You don't make any money doing that. You got to sell the book, Greatness and Goodness, Barbaro and His Legacy. Quit giving them away, man. You got to sell it.
No, I tell you, I don't give them all away. Graham actually bought his two copies. So, but that was a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, with Steve, I worked for Steve for a couple of years, and he actually was very helpful in sort of my being able to do my research for the book. So it was kind of cool. I saw him on Saturday morning, and I had a couple of books with me, and he was with his father, Keith, as they were watching some of their horses train. So I just went up to him, and then I was like, Steve, I wanted to give you a copy of my book. Should I send it to your house in Arlington, or could I give it to you now? And he says, oh, no, Alex, give it to me now. I wanted to pick it up at Fairgrounds when you're there, but I missed you. And we had a really good conversation. So, you know, this is the morning of the Derby. Steve was very relaxed and very happy, and he actually won a really nice race on the undercard too. So it was just fun catching up with him and hanging out, because obviously now, being back in Pennsylvania, I don't get much of an opportunity to catch up with those guys.
Well, you know, we certainly appreciate you coming back on with us again today on short notice and sort of giving us a wrap-up of the race. And, of course, now we look forward to the next one there in Maryland, that other little race coming up. I wanted to ask you, though, because you did something over the weekend that's pretty cool, that if people have never been there, it's an unbelievable place, and that's Winterthur. Can you tell people who don't know anything about the point-to-point at Winterthur what that's like?
Well, it's very different to the Kentucky Derby in terms of the type of racing, obviously. So on Saturday, we had the best 2 minutes in sports, the Kentucky Derby, lots of hoopla. And on Sunday, Winterthur, very beautiful environment, little bit of timber racing, a bit of flat racing, a bit of pony racing, a bit of carriage driving, and just a whole nice mix of country activity. A great, great crowd. We obviously had gorgeous weather, which was very nice. And, it's just a great way to spend an afternoon. And I had a bit of fun, sold some books, met some more people, if you ever get a chance to go to a point-to-point or any kind of steeplechase meet, you just see a different kind of sort of horse racing sports. A lot of fun, great spectacle. Ask me who won the races yesterday, I wouldn't have a clue.
Nobody cares because it's just so much fun to watch. And Winterthur, of course, for those that don't know, is the Henry Francis DuPont estate. Of the DuPonts of Delaware, and it is absolutely, even if there's not a race going on, you can actually go in and tour it now, and the gardens and just the whole place is unbelievable. You can see the house and everything. It's just 60 acres of beauty there. Is it in Delaware? Is it right in Delaware?
It's in Delaware, yes, just.
Yeah,
obviously close to Pennsylvania.
But it's neat. It's worth seeing, even if you just get over there for taking a tour. It's fun to see. But I know the point-to-point is always fun, too, because it's just absolutely beautiful. Well, thank you, Alex. We appreciate you being on again. And can we check in with you again around Pimlico time?
Absolutely. That would be terrific. And obviously, between now and then, I'm going to try to spend some time following Animal Kingdom, since he'll only be a few miles from my house, and obviously I know those guys pretty good, so hopefully I have some things to tell you about his training leading up to the Preakness, and let's hope that he can get the second leg accomplished too.
We're
and how long do you think it's Yeah, how long do you think it's going to be before Disney calls him, by the way? Kind of got that Animal Kingdom connection. They have a whole park named after that horse.
That would be kind of fun, huh? And he is a gorgeous-looking chestnut colt, just absolutely stunning. So he himself would make quite the movie actor. great-looking horse and just terrific. You know, I can't say enough about Graham Motion and his crew. It will be very exciting to see how far they can take this horse.
All right, we're rooting for a triple crown here. We're rooting for the triple crown. Thank you, Alex. We appreciate you being on. And of course, you can. Jennifer's posted a link on Facebook to your website. It's alexbrownracing.com, and you can find his book, Greatness and Goodness, Barbaro and His Legacy, on Amazon as well. So we appreciate you being on again, Alex.
No, thank you very much, guys. Hopefully talk to you again very soon.
Thanks, Alex.
You know, one of two things is going to happen. Disney's going to call the owners there, and they're going to make a deal and be a sponsor, or they're going to sue their butts off for stealing a name. One of the two things is going to happen.
Well, you know, that's the perfect sponsorship opportunity, much like Mucho Macho Man and the 3M sponsorship, which, notice, was plastered all over the jockey's butt,
yes,
and on the legs and everything. However, I am thinking that it should not have been the sponsorship of 3M. It should have said 1M, because 3M, he came in third place. He's finished third.
Oh,
he won two races.
That's true.
So he needs to be sponsored by a 1M. Is there like McDonald's? 1M.
There you go.
Something like that. I thought that was brilliant. We do have our next guest on the line, actually, Glenn. Maybe after I do the commercial, you can introduce her. So we just want to tell you guys about our sponsor for today is Omega Alpha, and we do really thank them for being a part of our show. Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals, they create only natural health products, and their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. I know I've had my horse on the biotic gate. It's just they've got tons of great products that really focus on helping your horse. Omega Alpha has over two dozen products for your horse, and they combine the perfect marriage of nature and science. Look for their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca.
Well, we're going to change it up here a little bit and get off of racing talk. I know that there are some of our audience that don't enjoy racing as much as others, so we're going to change it up a little today. We have Holly Matt on next. She is from Pegasus Design Group, and as Jennifer mentioned earlier in the show, they are a group that helps you design your barn and your stable areas so that you can get the maximum out of it. If you're looking at building a new one or you're looking at doing some work on your current barn. So welcome, Holly. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay. You sound like you're in Ecuador or the South America someplace.
Okay. I'll try and speak up. I'm actually on the road again. So Jennifer mentioned it. We had to talk a little louder on the cell phone.
Yeah, you do sound like you're traveling, that's for sure. Tell us a little bit about Pegasus Design Group. What do you guys do?
We bring our expertise from designing facilities all over the world to optimize your horse's environment. So the sport horses or race horses or hunters and jumpers can perform their best and recover their best.
And now do you do the designs from the beginning, or do you in fact do help people in redesigns as well? Is that right?
Absolutely. We have a project in Colorado where we're upgrading the entire facility, improving the layout and egress on the site so they can use it a little more efficiently, so it's safer for the horses, more comfortable psychologically for the horses, and performs better, you know, on a maintenance and management level for the people.
So I have a question for you. I always wanted to know, what's the biggest mistake that people make when they're building a new barn?
They don't spend enough time planning up front. That's the biggest mistake, because it costs more to repair the mistakes you made than it does cost you to do it right the first time. So the money you spend on Pegasus Design Group,
I think we might have lost her.
Yeah,
are you
it's
still
kinda
there?
Hard.
Yeah, Jennifer, you're going to have to see if we can reconnect back with her again.
Will do.
And okay. Try to not have run her Bluetooth. The Bluetooth never really works very well. That's what it sounded like anyway.
Just as a side note, I said the word earlier and...
Pegasus!
Pegasus, my dear friend. Thank you. I know. I noticed that you weren't going to play that song when Alex Brown, the official,
race guy,
was on the phone.
I thought about it, though.
Freakness, and it never was played, and I think that you're a wimp, really. I think you need to stick to your guns, and you can't be playing it 5 minutes later, buddy. You got to play it at the time that it is on.
I did wimp out, I have to admit. I won't whip out next time, I promise. No matter who's on.
You know what? I have these buttons, too. So if you wimp out one more time, this is what's going to happen to you. I love having these buttons, too. You don't even realize that, do you? I got them.
Yeah, it scares me.
So we're waiting for Holly Matt. And I do think it's funny that you play the Pegasus, but yeah, we have Pegasus Design Group, and I probably wouldn't play that for Holly, would you? I don't think
I didn't even think about that.
Oh, great. Look what I've done. Nice.
Didn't even think about it. Holly, are you back with us?
We are back.
Okay, good. Well, we'll give it another try here. I even forget what I was asking. You were about to ask something, I think, Jamie.
Yeah. You mentioned that, you know, your design is important to for the performance of the horse. How does a barn design help the performance of a horse?
Basically, a lot of the barns that are built now don't provide the basic needs of a horse. They're not well ventilated. They're not well lit. And they don't provide a comfortable environment for horses psychologically, and that means, you know, seeing each other. Grand examples of really well-designed barns are a lot of race barns, because they have always treated horses like athletes and addressed their really basic needs, and so they could recover well after they performed and were safe and had good footing in the stalls, well ventilated and well lit.
So lighting and ventilation is important. Gotcha.
When we've talked to other barn people in the past, ventilation has been the thing that has come up the most often. Just because if your horse is an athlete and they're not turned out a lot, they're in the barn all the time, and there's dust and all kinds of stuff. And if it's not well ventilated, it really does affect their breathing, which affects their performance.
Absolutely, and it affects their infection level. You know. It's really an amazing thing. Horses need 10 times the amount of fresh air that we need on a daily basis. So they need many, many air changes in the space that they live in. But not only do they need the air change so that you have fresh air, they need to make sure that the stale air and the ammonia and all the dust and, I forget what they call them, all of the germs that are provided by moldy hay and dust and dirt. They increase allergy reactions and stuff. They are taking away every day from what they could be doing in an optimum environment.
Now Holly...
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask Holly a little bit about her riding background, because you're not just, an architect. You're an architectural designer, and you also have, international riding in your background. So tell us a little bit about that. How has your international riding career and all that helped your ability to help people design their barns?
Well, we can stay on the cutting edge of what competition people are doing and needing, whether it's footing in the rings, whether it's the way we're developing our training programs and what the basic needs are, you know, at the current moment, not stuff we've been doing 10 years ago, but stuff we're needing and doing right now. And we all know how quick the competition, you know, backgrounds change, you know, on a yearly basis. And so we can stay up to speed on that because we're in the competition arenas. We travel to shows. We know what's going on, you know, all over the country and all over the world at the top level. So that trickles down to all things we do.
Now, I do have a question for you. This actually comes from Facebook, from one of our listeners who's listening right now. This is from Brenda. Says that she's building a brand new hobby farm, house, paddocks, small barn on an 8-acre lot this summer. Looking forward to hearing from Pegasus Design. So that brings me to the question, is do you only do the big professional, you know, competition barns, or do you help the average horse owner out, like Brenda, who's looking at building a place?
Yes, we do. And they are probably some of our most important clients because their resources are a little more limited, and not just what you have build it with, but maybe their land is a bit smaller. They have to be very, very careful about how they utilize their natural resources. You've got to be a good neighbor so we don't, you know, zone ourselves out of being able to build horse farms. And so the more you pay attention to all of those issues, you know, the better fit it's going to be, and it's going to be a better value for you. You're going to get a better value for your whole building process.
Well, you know, I think what's interesting, too, and I learned a lot from you when we were been talking over the last month here, is a lot of people, and I would be the same way, if I'm like Brenda and I'm going to build my, you know, hobby farm, and I'm looking at the land and everything, and I'm calling a barn builder, I'm calling the Borton or whoever to come out, I don't even think about contacting somebody like yourself, yet you're going to help with the design of everything, and then you sort of oversee the project too, don't you?
I can, and it usually ends up that's what happens. They might not bring us on for project management, but one of the most important things is if you're anybody, doesn't matter if you're a professional or a hobby farm builder, the building process is not something you do every day. And so people hire a contractor, think that they're their best friend, but they're working for you, and you have to be able to evaluate whether they're doing the job for you and giving you the right materials and making sure stuff is built. We can make sure we are your owner's representative to make sure that that work's getting done for you. And it doesn't have to be an expensive process, but it will save you lots of money, especially when you don't know on a day-to-day basis what you're getting your bang for your buck.
Well, you know, that's what we're not contractors. You know, I wouldn't know the first thing about barn design. So, you know, I think you're absolutely right about that, is get the professionals to help like we do with training our horses. It's the same thing. You know, we get professionals to help.
It is absolutely
to help us train our horses
thing.
As well. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I know Jennifer has a question.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a question. I'm the efficiency nut, having worked in many, many older facilities that were either repurposed, you take a cattle farm and make it into a horse farm, or facilities that were built pre-World War II. And I found that labor is either the highest cost of doing business line item on your tax return, or it's the highest stress point if you have to do it all yourself. So what would you say, when this particularly applies to larger facilities, probably a little bit less for the hobby farm facility, are there some commonalities in the efficiency aspect of building these facilities that you, as somebody who's really active in the horse community still, as an architect, you say to people, they come in, they have this grand idea for a facility, and you find yourself saying again and again, that's the way we've done it for 200 years, but we know we really need to do this thing this way because we found it just vastly increases or improves the efficiency of your man hours.
Absolutely. Just recently, the facility we're doing in Templeton, California, it's a large dressage and eventing facility. That is exactly, we're going over the budget. We work with the client to look at those issues, saying, what is it going to take to run this, you know, run this facility? And man hours, you've got it right on. It's the most important line item budget, but it's also the most important thing for time for, you know, an amateur. I mean, you've only got so much time in the day to do this stuff.
That's
so
right.
That is exactly what we purpose our programming to do, to maximize the efficiency of getting the management task done, but also being safe and prioritized for the horse. And that is our expertise.
Yeah, that's so key to the long-term success of the rider. If you're one of those one- or two-person operations, it's key to the success to a business that perhaps has investors who need a return on that investment. It's huge and so overlooked. And even when you go to a fancy design group that can make a facility look just beautiful, but perhaps that design group doesn't have experience literally at the horsehair level. They don't walk around barns. The people who design that facility don't ride every day and things. It's not going to be the same experience as the Pegasus Design Group brings to the table, because you guys are right there in the horsehair picking up hooves.
Absolutely. We have boots on the ground on a daily basis. Our office is in the barn, and that's how we formulate the form, you know, the functionality, and then the form follows function. That's just the way it has to go. But that's why we love the barns we have, and even the old ones, because that's exactly what they did. They did have, you know, they had a function, and their form followed the function.
You know, we should have, that's the thing we're missing here at the Horse Radio Network. Our studios aren't in a barn. We need to be in a barn. Jamie, that's what we're doing wrong. We need to be in a barn. Well ventilated, too. That's what we need.
Listen, I have enough allergies just sitting in my studio, okay?
No,
you aren't enough.
You don't get allergies. You don't get allergies in a Pegasus design barn.
Oh, see, there you go. Thank you, Holly. We appreciate you being on. Jennifer has posted your information on our Facebook page, but it's PegasusDesignGroup.com. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't cost anything to call the gang over there and to find out if you're looking at redoing your barn or building a new one. Start there. Make that call first, and then we can see if they can help you or not. Thank you, Holly. We appreciate you being on, and have a good trip.
We're on Facebook, too. Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye. Wasn't a terrific connection there. But we have had worse, that's for sure. We want to encourage you, if you want to give us a call today, you can call us at 347-637-3238. We're going to have our weekend roundup coming up here shortly at about 10 o'clock. We're going to be talking about the news from the weekend. We have some weird, wacky stuff. Wait till you hear about the police horse who decided he needed to go through a plate glass window. So we'll be telling you about that, too, coming up very shortly. Yeah. But first, Jamie uses a program on her iPhone called Pocket Stable. It's the only iPhone app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all of their information, including vaccines, wormings, farrier, dentist visits, together and easily accessible. You can do it right there on your iPhone. You can also track the horse's weight and get reminders of important events like vaccines or worming or farrier visits. All of that, it'll remind you when it's coming up so you don't have to worry about forgetting to do your horse's feet for 8 months. It'll just tell you, and it's so easy and simple right on your iPhone. You can find Pocket Stable in the App Store on your iPhone or visit them at pocketstable.com. And this program is less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks, and you're going to have it in there forever to use for your horses. So check it out today, Pocket Stable. Well, I had to pick a song today, and I knew Jamie was feeling a little hurty, and going to take her a while to get around. You know, she's going to be all black and blue on the beach here in Hawaii in a couple days. And people are going to be staring at her thinking her husband abuses her. When, in fact, half the time that women are all black and blue on the beach, it's because they ride horses. So I picked from Templeton Thompson, Just Stay Crazy. Crazy by Templeton Thompson, and you could find all of her music and download it at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, here for Jamie Jennings and Jennifer H. Well, I'm here for a very sore Jamie Jennings and a very fine Jennifer H. She did not fall off her horse yesterday. So we're going to be talking about that in just a minute. I know that a couple of people have posted on Facebook. Brenda said, had my first fall in 28 years after a few weeks ago, Jamie. Mind you, I was on the flat. How embarrassing. So, you know, but there seems to be a general consensus by the pictures you posted on our Facebook page that everybody thinks your horse has amazing talent. So, but we're going to talk more about that coming up. First, I wanted to mention, let me find it here on Facebook, an affiliate of ours, Slow Horse News, and the gang over there at that blog, wrote, I keep forgetting to share this photo with our new banner making its debut at Twin River Spring International three-day event this month. Slow Horse News is the blog that carries our show here, Horses in the Morning, and it's the second time ordering from Easy Signs Online, and they say that the products and customer service have been exceptional. And they also have a new fan page on Facebook, too. So, and she posted a picture of the big banner they got from Easy Signs Online. Way to go, Wayne and the gang over there, and thank you for posting that. You know, we always appreciate it, Jamie, when our listeners post success stories they've had with our sponsors, because that keeps our sponsors coming back and keeps them supporting us and keeps us on the air.
It sure does. We do appreciate it. And, you know, that's why I feel, Glenn, that it's important that when we talk about these products, we have to know these products. I don't want to talk about something I don't believe in. You know, my horse, like our sponsor today is Omega Alpha, and my horse made a miraculous change being on the Biotic 8. I have an Easy Signs Online sign at my farm in front of my house. You know, I've used Kentucky Performance product. My horses are on Joint Armor. You know, every one of these things that we advertise, we actually believe in too. So that's part of the important part, to let you guys know that we don't just talk about anything. We don't just accept it. There are some advertisers that we have turned down, believe it or not. So it's not just about the money, people. It's actually about what we believe in and what we want to talk about. So there you go. That's true. And I do appreciate everybody posting their happy stories on Facebook about advertisers.
All right, Jamie, it's time to let us know what happened.
Oh, God. yeah. Brenda, I do understand you said your first fall in 28 years a few weeks ago, and yes, it is horribly embarrassing. We took my horse Jet, which is the $400 thoroughbred that we got from the sheriff's department. He was rescued. He's been, for the first year and change we owned him, we didn't do anything with him because he was very angry and had a lot of health issues. He broke his splint bone. He had ulcers. He just had anger issues. So I didn't get to do very much with him. But once I brought him to the farm, treated him for the ulcers, healed up his splint bone, it was time to get to work. And so we started, I guess, in January. So the horse has been under saddle for about 4 months, you know, consistently under saddle for about 4 months. And so he did his first cross-country schooling yesterday. We have tentatively entered a competition, the Coconino Horse Trials, in June, with trepidation because, yeah, I don't know. This is like the second time I've ridden the horse not in an arena. I feel like I'm cramming years of training into a couple short months once I decided to have this goal. We took him out to cross country schooling up at a place called Carefree Farms in Carefree, Arizona. And my coach, Barb Cravo, met us out there. She brought a mare too. So we were both schooling some greenies around, and they had some, you know, a friend with them. Well, the first jump that I went over is posted on the page, and it's the one of the little log where my horse is skyrocketing over this thing and pushing off the ground as hard as he possibly can. I mean, the horse coils up like a spring to jump an 18-inch log. It doesn't matter what it is. He really jumps really high, and it's been very challenging for me because he jumps so high and he cracks his back over the top of it and lands pretty hard, and he lands like straight down like he's jumping off of a bank or something, and it's very hard to sit, which is a reason I did buy a new saddle, because I think it's going to help me stick on this horse a little bit
more. Does it have glue? Does it have a seat belt or a Velcro?
I know,
or?
Right? Wouldn't that be nice? I do need a bit of a seat belt. And the Southern Stars saddle that I bought has those knee blocks behind so your leg can't go too far back, and it's got a smaller ankle to the saddle so it won't hit me in the butt. Exactly. No, it was the perfect saddle. So until that comes, I'm stuck with my old saddle, which is I've had for 15 years. And I've been told that it is not doing me any favors. Well, Chad is taking pictures, this whole thing. A friend of mine, was out videoing the entire thing. So we start over some jumps, and he's just jumping huge. And he's actually, he's so honest, he won't refuse a jump at all. So he's cantering around, and he's jumping these fences, and I'm so excited because it doesn't matter what it is, he'll jump it. He'll just jump it about 3 feet higher than he has to. He doesn't want to screw up. He doesn't want to touch it. He doesn't want to come close to it. He's like, okay, I'll jump it. I just don't want to get anywhere near it. And so he jumps these fences like 2 feet over the jumps. And when you start getting up into 3 foot fences, that's pretty high. So we got him through the water. Yeah, exactly. We got him through the water, and he was really brave about it. Went in there, walked around. We ended up trotting through it and then cantering through it, and he was a very good boy. So we wanted to put some jumps together. So Barb's like, okay, go out there and jump the log and then jump the coop and then do a circle and then come to this. It was a telephone pole oxer with straw bales in the middle of it. So I did that, and we did a little circle and came to the straw bales, and he jumped it 10 feet high. I didn't post that picture because his legs are everywhere. It's ugly. So she says, okay, that was good. He's very honest about it. Now I want you to do them in a row. 1, 2, 3. So I go with 1, and I go with 2. And, well, let's just say he wasn't quite ready to go straight to the fence. So a smarter person would have circled, but I was told to jump the 3 in a row. So my horse is
you were
going to
do it, damn it.
I was going to do it. So I come up to the fence, and he's so crooked, and he's so sideways, and he was starting to get a little excited that he was almost parallel to the jump by the time we got to it. And I don't know. I just have been told never to turn a horse away from a fence, so I just kicked him. And the horse, who was basically almost parallel to the jump, leapt into the air, cleared this. Let's just say that height is not an issue with this horse because he can jump from a standstill sideways about a 6 foot fence. Jumps this thing so high and sideways and almost like twists and straightens over the fence, but he pushes straight up off the ground like he's climbing a ladder. Then he rocks his back and then points his front feet straight down. So you've gone like up and then straight down.
You've done a huge buck is what you did.
Right. And that was just about to come, Glenn, because when I landed on this green horse who has no experience in this whatsoever, and he lands. I crashed down on his neck because that was not a fun thing, and my horse, bless his little heart, had had enough. And that is when, after crashing down on his neck and I was thrown forward, that's when he decided to start bucking.
Oh, no.
Let's just say that it was not a fall. It was more like a catapult. And I catapulted into the air. And again, I know this because, yes, there is a video. I have seen this video. It's being burned to DVD and will be sent to me, and I will get it to you after I come back from Hawaii. Because she burned the whole thing to video, kept filming the entire time while I'm on the ground. I catapulted into the air. My jaw actually somehow hit his withers. I don't know how that happened. They said it happened. I flew into the air and did a flip and landed on my left side. So my elbow is skinned. My left hip and butt bone is hurt. However, landing on my elbow straight down into the ground should have fractured my collarbones. But it didn't because I had that Charles Owen vest on. I'm telling you what, that vest seriously saved my hide. I'm so incredibly lucky. I laid there for a couple minutes, you know, just making sure everything was good. I sat up and I was like, holy cow, I'm okay. And immediately, you know, Chad comes running over. He's like, you did great. You did great. It was a great fall. Why does everybody say that when you fall off a horse? It was a great fall. There are no great falls. I'm sorry. Great falls do not exist. You had a really good fall. That was a great fall. Shut up. Don't placate me. I'm hurting right now. So my horse then proceeds to take off at a buck and bucks a couple times and then runs away. I'm laying on the ground. I got back up. By God, I got back up, and I got back on that horse after they caught him. Brought him over to me. I shimmy up the horse. My neck hurts. My head is throbbing. My jaw hurts. And I just said to my coach, I said, please, Barb, please don't make me jump that one again. And she goes, you're going to jump it again, and you're going to jump it again right now. I'm like, no, I don't want to do it again. I turned into the whiny 12-year-old. She's like, go jump that little poop and turn around and come to this fence, and I want you to come to it straight. Do not poorly ride your horse to this jump again. So we went around, did the little coop, came up, had a nice straight canter, and my horse jumped it nice and happily.
Yay.
And so she's like, would you like to go ahead? And I was like, no, I'm done. I can
That's
barely
it.
Turn my head at this point. I'm done. Let me go get some Advil and get home. But yeah, he was very honest. That's what she says too. She's like, you know, now you know that if you bring him in sideways, he will jump it sideways. So you need to know that your horse is honest. He will jump anything that's in front of him. It's your responsibility to get him there cleanly and safely and nicely. So I learned a lot. Hopefully we're going to be ready for the next adventure that awaits, which is a schooling day at Coconino 2 weeks before the competition. So that'll be not this coming weekend, but the next one. And I'll then have the video of me getting falling off, getting catapulted
out. I cannot wait to see that, because I'm sure Chad was right. It was probably a very impressive fall. You know, he can't say that, because when he falls, it, you know, people die. So he's got to, you know, he's looking at you going, wow, you have a job where you can actually fall and survive.
Dude, whatever.
Plus it's a horse.
Glenn, they have an ejection button, okay? And they hit this button.
That's through the parachute.
Out into the air and have a parachute that gently carries them to the ground. I don't want to hear about his, he can't fall. He can fall.
Can you
and
do,
he's gently coming off a horse.
You know, Chad did call me yesterday, though, and he has a request. He wanted me to try and convince you not to ride before you leave for Hawaii on Wednesday, because he really wants to have somewhat of a good time, and he's really concerned that if you come off again before Wednesday, all bets are off. So I'm just sticking up for the horse husband here. I'm just saying.
As much as I would love to ride today, it is just not going to be a physical possibility.
All right.
It's not going to happen.
Thank you, Jamie. We appreciate you sharing your grief and pain with the entire horse world now. You know, everybody can relate to that, though, because everybody falls off, and you're just either gutsy or stupid enough to share it with the whole world. So we appreciate it.
Thanks.
Hey, we have a caller on the line. We have Mary from New York. Good morning, Mary, and welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Good morning, Glenn.
Wow, appreciate you calling. What's up?
Well, Glenn, this is actually Mary from Carrots, and I heard that your producer, Jennifer, has a special birthday today.
Where'd you hear that?
Well, I was listening to the Tack and Habit review show and heard that our microcords were reviewed and that she may be interested in another pair for her birthday, and we wanted to surprise her with some.
Wow, isn't that cool?
Ooh. Oh, Jennifer, happy birthday. Glenn, tell me not to say anything until
you're all a bunch of stinkers.
This is great. So that is awful sweet of you to offer her those bridges. I know she wore her other carrots around, by the way, like the entirety of Rolex. She was so excited about them.
That's what she said. Yeah. Excellent. Well, we'd love to give her whatever pair she'd like. I know she mentioned some tan ones in the microcord breech. So certainly whatever she would like for her birthday.
Aww.
Well, happy birthday, dear.
Thank you. Well, I'm gonna have to get several now because I keep wearing my boot cuts around like jeans.
Excellent.
Yeah, she's wearing them everywhere. She hasn't taken them off since she bought them. I keep telling her she needs to wash them occasionally, that it's okay to wash them, but, you know, she keeps wearing
them
every
day. Well,
our
motto we have is wash and wear. So
wash,
she
wear,
can
repeat.
Certainly. Exactly. Glenn, we would also love to give a pair to a listener this week.
Oh, cool. Oh, that'll
so,
be fun.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we do this? You know, we just had somebody post on our Facebook page. Loving the bad ads from Friday's show. This should be a regular section. By the way, it is a regular section. We're doing it every Friday. We have what we call really bad ads, and it's the really bad ads from Craigslist that people submit from all over the country. And why don't we make the carrots breeches? Which one do you want to give away? The boot cut, like Jennifer loves so much?
Yeah, let's do the boot cut.
They're awesome.
All right. So we'll give away a pair of boot cut breeches to whoever submits the best really bad ad for Friday's show. So we'll talk about them all week and get you guys some play, and then also give away those to whoever submits the best really bad ad. So you want to take a look at Craigslist or at any of the ad places, actually. And it just has to be horse-related. We don't care if it's about selling horses or it's stupid misspellings or whatever it is. It's just a really bad ad for some reason. And you can submit them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com this week, and we'll get them up on Friday and pick a winner. Well, that's really nice of you guys.
That sounds excellent.
You know, and if people want to listen to that, it's interesting you heard that. You guys always, you must have Google Alerts set up for yourself, because every time we talk about you, I hear from you the next day. It's like.
Well, it was great to hear the review.
Yeah, she liked her boot cut. Which one were they, Jennifer? The Micro-Cord boot cut.
Micro-Cord. I love the Micro-Cord. It's super duper comfy and covers just perfect. Flow rise waist. Yay!
Excellent.
Yeah.
You know, one of the complaints, I have to say, Mary, one of the complaints we've heard over the years, because we carried you guys 15 years ago when we had our tack shop, was the carrots in the past were always known for being really skin tight. And a lot of women wouldn't wear them because of that. Now, this Micro-Cord really does solve the problem. You know, Jennifer's one comment was that they aren't as skin tight, that you don't feel like you're totally exposed to the world. And so they have to be doing very well for you that way.
They are great. You mentioned in the review that it is kind of the midweight fabric, and it certainly is. It's great for year-round and just gives that little extra hold to it.
Well, that's terrific. You know, Carrie, we want to get her on the show here some morning too, sometime, because she has such an interesting story. Carrie is the one who founded Carrot and is a true adventurer. She's not just a horse person, but she's done a ton of things in life. So we just think it would be fun to get her on the show here some morning and chat with her.
I'm sure she would love to. We'll go ahead and set that up.
All right. Well, I'm sure Jennifer will be contacting you for her breeches, because and I will be thankful if she gets a different color. I'll get to see her in something different every day now.
Excellent. Well, happy birthday, Jennifer.
Thank you. I'm going to be so
stylish.
Thank you,
Mary.
All right. Thanks,
Glenn
and Jamie.
And give the website, Mary. What's the website again?
www.carrots.com.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Jamie just posted.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Now she's mad at me because she said, you better not talk about my birthday on the air today. I got warned.
Yeah. And
I
like
didn't.
I was saying,
Mary called in
better,
and talked about it. I didn't talk about it. I'm safe.
Yeah, you didn't have anything to do with it except for the fact that you organized the whole thing. And I, like I was saying, you better get me something awesome for my birthday. This better be awesome. See, now you've set a precedent, Clint. The women in your life will require a present.
I already have it planned. I'm going to get you the Home Plaster of Paris cast making kit and crutches. What do you think?
Thank you.
Perfect.
do it yourself casting.
Yes. You don't even need to go to the doctor.
Nothing's broken. I just, if anybody has more pain pills prescribed by their dentist, please go ahead and send them in to me. I would really appreciate it. No, that's illegal. I'm just kidding. Don't do that.
No, you don't do that. She didn't just recommend that. Let's do the weekend roundup.
It's time for the weekend roundup.
Well, you talked me into it.
I'd like to start the weekend roundup with my video pick of the week, and this couldn't be more appropriate. I actually had planned this before I heard about Jamie. You know the spills and thrills videos that were out years ago about all the eventers crashing and burning? Remember those?
Yes, because I can't watch them. There's, I can't watch
either.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Jennifer can't either. Well, then you're not going to want to. You can watch this, though, because it's kind of innocent. Well, the Wynnum Pony Club, I think it's Wynnum, in Australia, had a good sense of humor, and they put their Wynnum Pony Club Horse Falls and Mishaps of 2010, put it together in a video, and it was pretty good. And they do say no one was seriously injured in the making of this video. And Jennifer's going to post it on our Facebook page right now, the link to this video. But it was kind of a chuckle. And there are a couple of really bad ponies in this video and a couple of riders who ended up on their feet and a couple who ended up like you on their butts. So it's kind of a cute video to watch. Take a look at it if you get a chance. That's my video pick of the week. Now, you had a story about the winner of Rolex.
Yeah, this is really cool. Mary King, who didn't just win Rolex, she got first and second. And, of course, before that, she got third in badminton the weekend before. So she's pretty much the top rider in the world right now. She is actually going to be trying her hand at endurance racing. She's going to participate in the 3-day Golden Horseshoe Endurance Ride in Britain. And Mary King is going to be riding a horse named Mellow Jazz. I don't know that that sounds like a high-strung endurance horse's name at all. But Karen Jones owns this horse, and she has handed it off to Mary King to ride in team events of endurance where you do a 25-mile segment and then you, like, I don't know if it's like handing off the baton or whatever to your next person, but everybody does 25 miles, and she's going to be doing the first 25 miles in the demanding Exmoor terrain. She's just, of course she's going to do great because she's amazing, and she's like the most awesome female rider ever, winning Rolex first, second, and third in badminton. So she's going to be trying her hand at endurance, and it'll be take place, in May 15th. May 15th, so coming up. We'll keep you up to date on that, of course, as well.
And I have a couple lottery stories for you, but we're going to start with one where this person didn't even buy a ticket. And that is Katie McVane out of New Zealand. Probably has just sold her horse for more than any other horse ever sold in New Zealand. She is a show jumper. She has done pretty well. She brought this horse to the World Equestrian Games, and she just came in, I think it was sixth or seventh at the World Cup in Germany, sixth place at the World Cup in Germany. Well, she had no intentions of selling her horse until a group from Saudi Arabia called and said that they would like to offer her $10 million for Dunstan Delphi. She said,
my gosh,
we came to Europe not wanting to sell her. And I truly believe we were a huge chance for a medal at London with a little more experience on the European circuit. The decision was a very hard one to make. No,
that's the day when two idiots met, is the person who offers $10 million and the person who turns down $10
million,
okay?
Million.
So there is no way you would turn down. I love my pony. My Warmblood is my heart and pride and joy, and for $10 million, I would pat him on the neck, kiss him on the nose, and send him on his way. $10 million? I love you, buddy.
Yeah.
I love food.
Yeah, but you're off to the desert. Thank you very much.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, geez, for,
hey.
I know.
Go ahead.
I know. And, it wasn't, I guess it's a horse that, you know, obviously people have heard of, but it wasn't like a totalist, you know, over there. I don't know. Wow.
They said that the horse just with ease was jumping these Grand Prix jumps and could go higher. And so the scope is what the, you know what? I got a horse for you for Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, exactly. What is it? Yes.
Height is not a problem. Here, I'm going to send you guys some photographs and I'll take half of what you paid
for
that one. Okay.
He jumps sideways. He's got this horse beat. He does it sideways.
I know. And if you can find a rider to stay on him, you guys are going to be A-OK in the metal department, all right? That's great. I got another story for you, Glenn.
Yep.
Investigators in Dublin County, North Carolina, Duplin County, North Carolina, found more than $1 million worth of drugs. They're calling it one of the biggest drug busts in North Carolina history. Where were the drugs? They were inside saddles. They have uncovered 3 pounds of meth hidden in saddles and another 14 pounds hidden around the area, I guess. So they good for them for getting the meth off the streets. And excuse me, now when we cross state lines, are police officers going to check our saddles? Seriously? I mean, did they set a precedent? Is this a common thing to smuggle drugs in saddles? I hope not.
Do they carry a knife and cut them open or what?
I don't know. It's such a short news story, but it's just they don't say where in the saddles. I'm wondering if it was like in the paneling underneath or something like
that.
Yeah,
it makes you wonder. Yeah, I tried to find more on this one, and I couldn't find any more on it. And in the picture, which I couldn't get to go into I couldn't get it to copy. They had just had pictures of the drugs in Ziploc baggies, and I was trying to see what kind of tack room it was, if it was English or Western or whatever. I have heard of other instances where they have found drugs being smuggled in the tack trunks. You know, they put it underneath the tack.
Well, we have
like
a story for you, Jamie, from years ago. We had our farm there in Pennsylvania. One of our boarders was moving to North Carolina. Funny, this is North Carolina, too. Was moving to North Carolina and had a not-so-well-known horse transport company out of North Carolina pick up her horse at our farm. Well, in one of those great big, huge tractor-trailer trucks. Well, tractor-trailer trucks, for some odd reason, weren't allowed in our little town, but nobody ever knew that. It wasn't posted anyplace. So sure enough, we see the tractor-trailer truck a little late coming down the road towards our farm right outside of town with the police behind us. And this cop from our little town of Newville, Pennsylvania, ran this woman through the ringer, searched the truck, and apparently there were numerous violations. She got hundreds of dollars in fines. And, I mean, he was there for an hour. And apparently the truck wasn't registered right, and the truck wasn't registered to the same company as the trailer. And it was just one thing after another. It took an hour for him to get done finding her. Well, we found out about 2 weeks later that this whole trucking company had been shut down because they were smuggling drugs in the floor of the horse trailers.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
So she might have been loaded with drugs, you know, and she looked really nervous when he was there, you know, putting her through the ringer. I guess so. I guess there was more than one reason that she was nervous.
No kidding. So when she was dropping off the horse, did you have any words with her? Did you talk to her? Were you like, oh, my gosh, I'm sorry. I didn't know tractor trailers weren't allowed in this part of town. And in
yeah,
your quote,
I mean, we were all
town.
Yeah, we were all apologetic. And we didn't need to be, apparently.
Yeah, obviously. So, my gosh. But then to have that, and then for her to be nervous, she probably were like, thank God this podunk town doesn't have drug-sniffing dogs, because then she'd have been toast.
I know. Well, there you go. There's my story about drugs. Hey, one other quick story about the lottery. So this guy in New York, he's a retired Staten Island bus driver. He went to the store, and he shows up. He wanted to buy something out of a vending machine at the front of the store, but there wasn't any. It only took fives or ones. The vending machine wouldn't take a $20 bill at the ShopRite. So he walked over to the counter. Well, he noticed while he was there getting change for his $20 bill at the counter that they sold lottery tickets. So he just happened to buy himself five Mega Ball lottery tickets and won himself with his Mega Ball lottery ticket $72 million.
Oh.
Because he needed change for his $20 bill, he went over to the counter and noticed they sold lottery tickets and bought. And I've done that. I've never won, but I've gone by the counter or gone over to the counter to buy something at the grocery store. You need something. you know, they sell postage, and I'll go, oh, I'll just buy $5 worth of lottery tickets when I'm here. I don't win $72 million. By the way, do you know when you take a lump sum in New York City, how much? Take a guess how much he got after taxes.
Okay, 72 million.
I would say
he probably, New York, his taxes are high in New York, like California, right? So I would say he probably got half. 36?
Yeah, you would think something like 30, 38, 35 million. That would have been my guess. No, 28 million. Out of 72.
Only $28 million. Oh, but you're right. Huh. 28 out of 72 is pretty pitiful. But $28 million only. Oh, I feel so sorry for him and his family. Oh, it's just,
by
shut
way,
up.
His kids are
$28 million.
His kids are very happy because he's actually splitting the money with his three children. So they're all real happy right now.
That just makes me want to go, Daddy. Daddy, will you please buy a lottery ticket?
Well, they did make one of the comments here. They did make one of the comments that they were going to be very nice to him on Father's Day this year. I bet they were.
Yeah, I would imagine. Here, let me spend here's $1 million, Dad. It's because you gave me 12.
hey.
You know, just some, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, before we run out of time, can I tell you about the startled police horse?
Yes, please do, and then we'll end on
that.
Yeah.
Okay, so police in Minnesota said a police horse spooked by a loud noise. Now, you know the police horses stand there. We used to have them when I had an office in Lancaster, in the big metropolis of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We had an office right on the square in the tallest building in town. It was like 13 stories. Yes, there is a 13-story building in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And we had an office which was like in the second or third story, and the police horses were very active in Lancaster. They had three or four of them that would patrol around the square in Lancaster. And, but they, you know, they were, and I saw them do some incredible chases down the street, chasing guys down through the traffic, down the sidewalk. Well, this one apparently was standing in the sidewalk and was spooked by a loud noise, spun around quickly and shattered the window of the coffee shop in St. Paul.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and you could see that happening, I guess, a horse spooking, and by the way, his name is Blackjack. He spun around and actually broke the window out of the coffee shop. The horse is fine, actually. He had some cuts on his face, obviously. It probably doesn't want to do traffic patrol anymore in downtown St. Paul, but they said he'll be just fine and back to work in a week. And they are going to pay for the window of the coffee shop. So
I would imagine, but imagine being the patron. It's, you know, early in the morning. You've decided to go and stop in at your local Java Bean and get a cup of Joe, a little latte maybe with a little caramel in it. You can't decide. So you go to the counter, you pick your coffee, you look up, you're like, oh, there's 12 different kinds. I think what I'll take is the white Mocha Grande Express, no whip, extra foam. So you place your order. You cautiously carry the cup back to, oh, there's a window seat available. Oh, let me go over to the window seat. Oh, it's a beautiful day. I'm like, kabam! This horse flips over your table, spilling your white mocha with no whip, extra foam all over you. You are burned. There's a horse in your lap, broken glass everywhere. Oh, my God, imagine being that patron. Thank you very much. I'm on more medication than you guys can imagine right now, so that's where that came from. I need more. I need another pill.
No horses or people were hurt in the making of that movie. you can find all of our show notes at Horse Radio or at horsesinthemorning.com. You can find all of our shows, including that latest. You got to take a listen to that where Jennifer reviews the Carrots Breeches. You can go to Tack and Habit and find that. And it looks like they posted it on our Facebook page already this morning, too. We appreciate Carrots calling in and doing that today. And happy birthday, dear. I wanted to say what real quick that Jamie is going to be gone Thursday or Wednesday through Monday of next week out in Hawaii enjoying her black and blue bruises. You know, if you get a dark enough tan, it'll cover them up. So we have replacements coming in and some fill-in co-hosts, and we have some neat people lined up. So you're going to want to tune in the rest of the week as well. Nobody can replace Jamie, but we do have some fun people lined up. And I'm going to miss you. I'll miss you guys too.
Oh yeah. Well, this is a trip that we're taking to Hawaii. It's our anniversary. Our 1 year anniversary is coming up on May 29th. But my husband is so sweet. May 29th, that weekend, Memorial Day weekend, would be way too close to my competition. He's like, you don't want to miss a week of riding leading up to your horse show. So we booked the trip. My husband is the coolest ever. He booked it early. So we're going now. So I have plenty of time to get ready for the Coconino horse trials. He's the sweetest thing
ever.
He's
sweet.
I know. He's so great. If you miss our live show, by the way, I'll be gone Wednesday through Monday. Thank you, Glenn, for letting me have some time off. If you miss the live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss an episode. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern, and I'll be a little less medicated. Happy birthday, Jennifer. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody.